Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, and let the church say amen.
thank and praise God, for this is the day the Lord has made. Be glad and rejoice in it, for surely the Lord is worthy to be praised. It's a great day, and it's an awesome day, and it's a great day to be in Christ, praise God. We give obedience unto God, who's the head of my life, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to give honor to our leader, Apostle Edward Hamilton, and to all the clergy and all of you, my brothers and sisters in Christ who may be listening on tonight. We thank God for you, and we love you, and we want you to know that God loves you. You know, as I was on the way over to the church on tonight, I thought about a quote which was said by Dr. R.L. Bowman from Midwest Bible College here in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. And Dr. Bowman said, if you want to do something major for God, it's going to take a major shift in your life. I'll say that again. If you want to do something major for God, it's going to take a major shift in your life. And I believe on tonight that there may be somebody on the line, or there are some ministries on the line that are going through a major shift. So I want you to stay encouraged, amen. As times may get tough for you, you may have some trials and tribulations, but understand that God is with you, and he's shifting you and his and your ministry that he may get the glory. Praise God. So I solicit your prayers on tonight, amen, for two reasons. Number one, that I'm preaching, and number two, just for strength. I'm attending classes, management classes for my job, so I'm very busy in this season, so I solicit your prayers. But the Lord does have a word for us on tonight, amen, from the Old Testament. We're going to be looking at Exodus chapter 20, and we're going to be looking at verse 17. And the Lord had gave me this sermon about a month ago to share with you all. Exodus chapter 20, we're going to be looking at verse 17. If time permits, we're going to look at also James chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. So Exodus chapter 20, verse 17 reads as follows. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. From that passage of scripture, I want to speak on the subject of do not be jealous. Do not be jealous. Shall we pray? Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you on tonight. I thank you for another opportunity to preach your word. Allow me to decrease, you increase in me. I seek a fresh anointing at this very minute, very hour, very second to preach your word with power, authority, conviction. Heavenly Father, have your way. Continue to be glorified with everything that we do here on the Now Network. Open the eyes, the ears, the hearts, and minds of those that are assigned to my voice. Bless thy people, Heavenly Father. Lord, encourage your people on tonight. Let this be a life-transforming word, an encouraging word, a soul-saving word. Father God, if there's anything I have forgotten, I ask that you bring it to my remembrance. Father God, before the end of the night, before we preach the last word, before we sung the last song, before we prayed the last prayer, may lives be transformed. May people be encouraged. May souls be added to the church, such as shall be saved. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we receive the preached word this evening, God has commanded us not to be jealous in Exodus 20 and 17. And as we can see, people of God, jealousy has been going on since the beginning of time. If we could digress for a moment and take a trip to the heavens, we learned that Lucifer wanted to be like God, and he even wanted to exalt himself a throne above the stars of God. In other words, Lucifer wanted what God had, and probably even more. For the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 14, verses 12 through 15, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Look at Lucifer. He's trying to be like the Most High God. The scripture also says, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Here we have an example, my brothers and sisters, of covetousness, pride, self-exaltation, wanting what belongs to God. Here we have a spirit of jealousy. If we can go a little further and take a look at Cain and Abel, we come to learn that Cain was jealous of Abel because God received Abel's offering but refused Cain's offering because he gave God a tainted, a blemished, or unclean offering. For the Bible says in Genesis chapter 4, verses 3 through 8, and in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground in offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. He had respect unto him because he brought God, he offered God the first fruits. But unto Cain and to his offering, he had no respect. You see, Cain thought he could give God just anything and God would accept it. And Cain was very wroth. He was upset, church, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shall thou not be accepted? Yeah. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with his Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. In other words, Cain killed his brother because he was jealous of him. And how easy is it for people to become jealous of others? Even when God may be blessing you, there's a possibility that others will be jealous simply because it's not them that's receiving the blessing. They may even become jealous because they may think, my brothers and sisters, that you should not be receiving what God is blessing you with. In church, this also extends into the secular arena. There are people on the job, maybe those who you associate with, and yes, even family members who may be jealous of the favor on your life. For those people, we pray for them. Because understand, the problem is not with you, people of God. It's with them because they have a hardened heart. The problem is with them because somewhere in their relationship with God, there's a disconnect. And as we know, the problem is not with God. So I want to encourage us all on tonight. When others testify of God's blessing, celebrate them and not be jealous. As we turn our attention to the 10th commandment, God says in Exodus 20 and 17, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, not his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbors. In this passage of scripture, Moses had went up Mount Sinai, and God spoke and gave Moses the Ten Commandments, and Moses brought them down back to the people. Understand that when we study the word covet, it means to desire or wish for, to desire inordinately, to desire that which is unlawful to attain or possess. And even if it's unlawful to God, but lawful in the world, my brothers and sisters, it's still unlawful to God. Church, understand it on tonight. Anything I paint illegally against the standards of God, it's not a blessing. In other words, if it transgresses against God, if it grieves the Holy Spirit, if it goes against the word of God, it's not meant for us to have. Understand that God will not go against himself. He will not go against his divinity, and he will not go against his nature and character and tell us it's okay to obtain anything that transgresses against him. People of God, understand that the COVID or covetousness is dangerous, and it could bring about sin. It could bring about jealousy. Well, what do you mean, Brother Pastor? Look at Joseph's brothers. They were jealous because of the coat of many colors that his father had given him. They were really jealous after he told them from a dream he had that their sheaves would be obedient to his sheaves. They were so jealous, people of God, so jealous of their brother that they sold him into slavery and told their father that a wild animal had eaten him. Look what jealousy will make you do, church. Jealousy will cause family members to turn against you. And jealousy will also cause a person to lie in order to cover up the sin that they have committed. Understand, to covet or to have a spirit of covetousness is also, it also entails a spirit of lust. People of God, you know what lust is. Yeah. You look at something and you want it. And you would do anything to get it. You look at something, you want it. You would do anything to get it. Not only do anything to get it, you would do anything to get her, him, or them. A person can lust after something so bad that they would sin against God, transgress against God. They would transgress against their neighbor in order to obtain what they are lusting after. God basically tells us in verse 17 to keep your eyes off your neighbor's possessions. Because if your spirit isn't right, your eyes can get you into trouble. Oh, yeah. Your eyes can get you into trouble, my brothers and sisters. If you don't believe me, have a little talk with King David. His eyes got him in trouble, see. When he should have been in battle, he was looking at Bathsheba when she was up on the roof naked. His eyes got him in trouble, and his eyes caused his heart to follow. It caused his spirit to follow. In other words, it caused him to sin. I often have people looked at their neighbor's house, their neighbor's possessions, and said to themselves, they want what their neighbor has. And some even go as far to lust after the physical features of their neighbor's wife or their neighbor's husband. And they decide in their mind and heart that they want that person. They want him or her. It becomes so bad, church, that people, they become jealous, and they say to themselves, or even to others, how did they get that house? Yeah. How did they get that car? How did he or she attract or find their spouse? And watch this. They go as far as to say, how did they get that ministry? Yeah. See, there's some people out there that don't want you to have what God is giving you. There's some people out there, they want what God has given you. They don't understand that they cannot get what God has given you, because what God has given you is for you, is not for anybody else. And then it goes deeper. They begin to judge their neighbor, and they make a final decision that their neighbor doesn't deserve anything that they have. So in essence, they just made themselves their neighbor's God, and the emphasis is on small g. That person or those people, they just made themselves an idol God. Church, be careful of desiring what others have. And if I can take it a step further, this even happens in ministry. Yeah, it happens. How did they get on TV? How did they get on the radio? He or she only has 10 people in their church, but how are they speaking to nations? People of God, that's jealousy right there. And if it's not asked in the right spirit, you know, and I'm talking to the clergy right now, they see, they see the big bishop on TV with the big church, 800 people, 1,000 people, 2,000 people, people of God, 2,000 people on the live broadcast, 20,000 members in the church, and all of a sudden, some become jealous. And it goes both ways. Because there are even those who become jealous of pastors who don't have large churches. They become jealous because God is blessing your ministry. They become jealous because God is blessing your home, blessing your finances, blessing your children. Whatever you touch, it prospers and bring God glory. See. I don't know who this is for on tonight, But they want to invite you back to do another revival. It's not because you did anything wrong. It's because you preached. God was with you. The Holy Spirit moved. The presence of God was in that church. Souls were saved. People were delivered. And they got jealous of you. How dare you come to their ministry and do what you did? They failed to realize it wasn't you. It was the Lord thy God that did whatever happened during that time you were preaching. See, church, even though the scripture says, do not despise small beginnings, some are still jealous. Now, you would think, when you tell someone about what God is doing in your ministry or in your life, they would be excited. You would think they would celebrate with it for you. But little did you know, they have a spirit of jealousy and are upset because the Lord is blessing you. And people of God, understand on tonight, everything that I say, I'm saying it in love. I'm also saying it because God wants to kill the spirit of jealousy and competition in his church. I'll say it again. God wants to kill the spirit of jealousy and competition in his church. God does not want us to be jealous of one another. We're not to compete with one another. God wants us to work together for his glory, work together that souls would be saved, that lives would be transformed, that people would be encouraged. People would be born again, and they would be made disciples, and the gospel could be spread faster and even furthermore. God wants to kill the spirit of jealousy and competition in his church. And notice I said his church, because the church doesn't belong to any of us. The church was built upon Jesus Christ, in case some of us forgot. And let us be careful, my brothers and sisters, because I was talking about counting numbers a little bit early. We need to be careful because David got in trouble for counting God's people. He got in trouble because he allowed Satan to entice him to take a census of Israel. And as a result, David's pride was revealed. And God had to deal with this pride. Let me ask you a question on tonight. And this applies to everything. Has God ever had to deal with your pride? Watch this. Have you ever developed a spirit of pride and didn't even know it? See, David got in trouble for taking that census, and we could get ourselves in trouble for counting numbers. Preachers, pastors, you know what I'm talking about. I think we all got that famous question. And what is that famous question, Brother Pastor? Doc, how many are you running? I'm running 5. Oh, 5,000? 500? No, just 5 people. Let me see. Yeah, see, they want to know how many you have in your church. It doesn't matter how many that we have, praise God. As long as we are faithful unto God and faithful unto the ministry that he has entrusted us with. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Let me stop right there. And once again, give honor to whom honor is due. See, God has a way of blessing us real good. I think it was last week I was listening to Pastor Ian. Little did Pastor Ian know that he blessed my soul. He was talking about the number of people that follow him on Facebook and Instagram. And I think Pastor E said there's a person who made a reference to him about preaching to a lot of people on Instagram. And that person asked, how many people on Instagram are watching? And I think Pastor E said, one person. And then he said, this has blessed me right here, church. Then he said, if he can just reach that one, that's one more saved. Hallelujah, glory to the Lamb. Church, when he said that, if he could reach that one, he blessed my soul right there. What that showed me, which I already knew, is that it's not about the numbers. But by Pastor E doing that, God brought me back down to earth, and it caused me to refocus, praise God. What you're saying, Brother Pastor, every now and then, God needs to recalibrate his service. Every now and then, God needs to be a bit more stern or a bit more coarse with us in order to keep his servants on the right track. So what do you mean, Brother Pastor? Come here, the Apostle Paul. Paul wanted God to remove the thorn from his side. He asked him 3 times, and God said no. He says, my grace is sufficient for thee. And for all of those on the line tonight, no matter what you're facing, God's grace is sufficient for you. If it seems like your ministry is not growing right now, God's grace is sufficient for you, praise God. Or if your ministry is growing, God's grace is still sufficient for you, praise God. What are you saying, Brother Pastor? Don't get caught up on focusing on what you don't have or how many you don't have. Take what God has given you and preach and teach and lead in the manner that God will be well pleased with you. And thank you. If I was in a Sunday morning service, I'd say, can I get a witness? Amen. And let me show you how God works, my brothers and sisters. Let me show you how God has a way of reassuring us. I was speaking with my son, and my son said, Dad, you're doing some things that some large churches can't do. I said, well, what are you talking about, son? He said, Dad, you're speaking and preaching to a lot of people. And I said, to God be the glory. See. We are talking about using what you have. Yeah. Using what you have. Thank you, Holy Ghost, because Jesus only had 12. Yeah. And when you study the ministry of Jesus, he didn't preach to large crowds that often. When you study his ministry, he ministered to people one-on-one or in very small groups. So what are you saying? Be thankful for those God has given unto you. Be thankful and minister to them like it's your last time to minister. And this goes for the lay persons as well. If you sing to the 5 or 10 or 20 or 50 like you're standing before God and the angels in heaven. Well, watch this and catch the revelation on tonight. Because when you do sing, when you are ministering, you are standing, you are ministering, you are singing before God and angels in the heaven, praise God. If I could pull in the words of the late General Apostle Fred K.C. Price. Apostle Price said, everybody wants a big church. until they get one. Yeah. See, see, their natural eyes wanted that big church. But when they got it, it wasn't what they thought it was. Praise God. Well, thank you, Holy Ghost. We ought to thank God because where he has us right now, amen. We ought to thank God that we're not moving too fast for him. Praise God. Matter of fact, we ought to thank God and bless him for some of the things we asked for, and he said no, or he put them on delay. Yeah, see, be careful of what you want. Be careful for letting your natural eyes fool you, praise God. Thank you, Dr. Price, amen. We'll see you on the other side. The commentary tells us this last commandment prohibits the inward desires of the heart from longing for, scheming, and putting forth any effort to acquire anything that belongs to another. People of God, we don't need to scheme or long for what others have. Amen. Be careful, because longing for what others have, especially in ministry, it can get you down in your spirit. It can make you feel like what you're doing is not working. Amen. Praise God. It can make you feel like there's not any anointing on your ministry and God is not with you. Be careful of looking out to the hills, amen, and neglecting what is before you. Praise God. Thank you, Holy Ghost. The commentary also tells us to covet is to wish to have the possessions of others. It goes beyond simply admiring someone else's possessions or thinking, I like to have one of those. It's okay to say, yeah, I like to have one of those. But here it is. Coveting includes envy, resenting the fact that others have what you don't. Coveting and jealousy, it becomes a sin, praise God, when you look at what they have and you get jealous or upset because they have it and you don't. Coveting includes envy, resenting the fact that others have what you don't, like I said before. God knows, however, that possessions never make anyone happy for long. And I can tell you that from personal experience. When I was in the world, I said if I could make more money, then I would be happy. Yeah. I had gotten a $20,000 a year increase on my job, and I still wasn't happy. I said, well, maybe if I buy a new vehicle, that would make me happy. I bought a new vehicle, and I still wasn't happy. And then God began to minister to me. Yeah, I would see people driving down the street. Well, back then we called them booties and raggedy cars, torn cars, but they would be laughing, smiling, and having a good time. And I said to myself, as I looked at those people, I want to smile like they're smiling. I want to laugh like they're laughing. I want to enjoy my family like they're enjoying theirs. To make a long story short, I did not find joy until I found Jesus. Can I get a witness on tonight? I didn't find joy until I found Jesus. And I stopped by tonight to tell somebody that material things cannot give you that joy. A large church cannot give you that joy. 1,000 people on your Facebook Live cannot give you that joy. It cannot give you that peace. It cannot give you that joy or peace that only comes from the Lord. God will give you the peace that surpasses all understanding, even when it seems like it's not working. When it seems like God is not working, you will still have peace in the midst of your life. The commentary also says, since only God can supply all of our needs, true contentment is found only in him. And that's true. Let me say this, and then I'll move on. There's some millionaires and billionaires out there who are miserable. years ago. I worked for a millionaire, and he was miserable. He hated to go home. He had enough money to do whatever he wanted to do with, but he was miserable. And back then, I couldn't witness to him because I didn't know the Lord either, praise God. But I knew that he was miserable. Let me say this on tonight. Money will help you. It's all good, but it can't bring total happiness, nor can it bring salvation. Ask the rich young ruler. So on tonight, if you ever begin to fall to covetousness, try to determine if there's a more basic need that is standing behind your envy. What do you mean? For example, you may covet someone's success, not because you want to take it away from him or her, but because you would feel like the field is appreciated by others as they are. Be careful. Yeah, be careful. Because even when others are celebrated, amen, it could bring up a spirit of pride. You could start saying, I want to be celebrated like that. I want them to bring me gifts like that. I want them to do the drive-by happy birthdays and honk the horn. Yeah. See. I want them to do that for me. See, that's the wrong spirit to have, my brothers and sisters. If people are going to celebrate you, let them celebrate it, amen. Let them initiate it, praise God. Understand, it's not about us. It's all about Jesus Christ, praise God. So let's take a look at James chapter 3, verses 14 through 17, and then we're going to be through for tonight, praise God. James chapter 3, verses 14 through 17 says, but if ye have bitter envy and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descended not from above, Lord Jesus, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Ooh. For where envy and strife is, there is confusion in every evil work. Verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. See, in this passage of scripture, James is talking about true and false wisdom, but he's also dealing with covetousness and jealousy. Praise God. Thank you, Holy Ghost. The New Living Translation says, but if you are bitterly jealous and there is selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying. Watch this, church. You can tell a person that God is blessing you. You can share your testimony. They'll become jealous and come up with a lie about their life to try to match what God is doing in your life. Be careful of those who are always trying to one-up you, amen. For every blessing you tell them about, they got two to one-up you, praise God. We have to be real careful about envy, about strife, and jealousy. We have to be careful, people of God, because if we allow the spirit of envy to reside in us, it can also turn into pride and arrogance. Well, what do you mean, Brother Pastor? Sometimes we have to go back to our prayer closet and do like the psalmist did. In Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24, and pray, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of salvation. I thank you for the psalmist, amen. I believe that might have been David, praise God. Look at that. Look at that. Look what he says there, amen. He says, He says in this passage of scripture, search me, O God. Know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And if there be anything wicked, if there be any wicked way in me, lead me in the way of everlasting. Let me say it like this. Father God, search my heart. Search the heart of those that are under the sound of my voice. And remove anything that's wicked and lead us into the way of everlasting. Father God, do precision surgery, spiritual surgery on us, and remove the spirit of jealousy and envy and covetousness if it be in us. Father God, let us not glory in jealousy, and let us not lie against the truth. Thank you. Let us not lie against the truth, because Jesus is the truth. Father, you are the truth. Your word is the truth. The Holy Ghost is the truth. Thank you, Father God, because if we glory in jealousy and lie against the truth, that makes us a false prophet. And Father God, whatever we do, we don't want to be false prophets in your eyes. We don't want to be telling lies just to make ourselves look good. Because understand, if a person is puffing themselves up because of jealousy only to one up the next person or make others feel hateful, they are walking in a lie, they are living in a lie, they are speaking lies. They are contradicting the very gospel that they say they believe in. They are contradicting the very gospel that the apostles of the Bible died for. They are contradicting the death of Jesus Christ on the cross because of their envy, their lying, their covetousness. They are making his death be in vain. Thank you, Lord. Even though they are doing all that, there's beauty in his death and resurrection. Because of the grace of God, those who walk in envy or jealousy can repent and get back to where God needs them to be. Look at verse 15, and we're almost done. It says, this wisdom descended not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. What are you saying, Brother Pastor? The very thing that comes from an envious spirit or envious spirits are not of God. God says that spirit did not come from him. It did not come from the heavens, praise God. He said it's earthly, it's worldly, it's a spirit of those who transgress against God. It's sensual. And when you study the word sensual in theology, it means carnal, pertaining to the flesh or body, in opposition of the spirit, not spiritual or holy or evil. And when you conduct a study of the natural man is sensual. The natural man has animal-like appetites or desires. Understand that sensual people, they are led by their emotions. They are led by their desires, praise God. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Yeah. See, they are not led by the Spirit. They do whatever makes them feel good, church, even if it goes against God. Philippians 3:19 says, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who mind earthly things. James says, wisdom, strife and envy is devilish. Verse 16, for where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Let me make it plain on tonight. Envy, jealousy, strife, confusion is nothing but the devil. Understand that God is not the author of confusion, nor is he the author of strife. Those who live in malice, envy, and contention, they live in confusion and are liable to be provoked and hurried to any evil work. In church, you don't want to be provoked to any evil work. And finally in verse 17, thank you, Holy Ghost. Thank you, Father God, for protecting us. Thank you, Father God, for giving us the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit to keep us from being provoked to any evil work. Verse 17 says, and then I'm done. But the wisdom that is from above, the wisdom from above is pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and hypocrisy. In verse 18, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in the peace of them that make peace. As I conclude on tonight, those who sow fruits of righteousness, they walk in peace. They keep the peace, and they attempt to make peace because they are not jealous. Do not be jealous. Do not be jealous of what others have. Do not be jealous of what you don't have. God has commanded us not to be jealous. And all the people said amen. I just want to say on tonight, amen. Just want to encourage us on tonight not to be jealous. I want to encourage us on tonight, praise God, to keep God first. I want to encourage you on tonight, amen. Don't quit and give up hope. Whatever God has for you, it is for you. Don't count the numbers. Don't look at how many they have. Just trust God, keep the faith, and minister and be faithful to those he has entrusted you with. A lot of people said amen. So at this time, I'm going to turn it back over. Amen. To Pastor.
Let the church say amen. Let the church say amen. God has spoken. No.
Yeah.
Good word, my brother. You know, you touched on something because I don't know if people are aware or really pay attention, but there's so much animosity within the body of Christ, different denominations, different worship songs, different musicians, different. There's so many things that keep us so divided. And I think we really don't pay attention to it. It starts with jealousy, that we can be so envious of someone just because they're being obedient, just because they're doing what God called them to do. A lot of people will look at that and look at it as a shortcoming instead of looking at it as encouragement, saying, let me link with people like that that are obeying God's word, and you're seeing the manifestation of that. Your ministry is full of life. I mean, I just see God blossoming you all across the airwaves, all the people, places you didn't even think that you would be reaching what God is doing in your ministry. And it's not what people see, because people look at us and say, oh, they got, we're all the people. No, it's the word that you're putting out trying to heal people to understand that we're all equal. And that's where I love this message, that jealousy has to die, because first of all, jealousy is me. And Christ said that if I desired to come after him, that I had to die. My jealousy had to die, because he said, deny yourself. See, that's that jealousy of wanting to be something that you're not instead of accepting who you are in God and going forward. Then he says, take up your cross daily. That's another sacrifice. So, God bless you, man of God. You definitely hit it. And when you could spark a word that now enlightens word and others, you've done an awesome job. That one, that's my goal, is just to connect with the one and know that the one got it. If the one can get it, that means the million can get it.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Anybody else out there want to get in this conversation tonight? That one person that I want to first make this, we usually wait a little bit longer to make this invitation, Pastor, but that it's one person out there listening to you right now that is kind of confused and doesn't know the Lord like we're talking about him. We want to invite you to dial one right now, because it's not as hard as you think. This is not it doesn't take a rocket scientist or an engineer or someone with a BA, a PA or anything else, but a heart to want to know God as your personal Lord and Savior. You can dial one right now, and I know Pastor Anthony, I know myself, I know the team. We have a starter kit for you right now. We can get you in 5 minutes. Dial one. Let the pastor share that word with you tonight. But until then, Prophetess Charlene out of San Diego, California, welcome to Let's Talk Jesus with Pastor Anthony.
Praise the Lord, Pastor Anthony and Pastor E and the listeners. This word was hot off the press. I can definitely attest to the fact of feeling when folks would feel, even though I wouldn't know, you know, put the connection together, why would feel people would be jealous of me. You know, when you say yes to God, folks who don't really know or understand the sincerity of your yes might be jealous of you because they see you walking into whatever God wants you to do for your life. And what I mean by that is not about the titles. We always talk about it's not about the titles, but you don't want to offend God not saying yes to him if it is his will that there is a title which describes who you are for his will for your life. And people may be offended saying, who do they think they are? Or why, like you said, why do they have this church? Or why do they have that? It's when this God's will, that's the answer. That's why. When it's God's will, that's the conviction. Then if you would have said no to God, then God would be rebuking you. God would be reminding you. God would be waking you up. They say you can't sleep at night. You wonder why. God is trying to tell you something. When God gets a hold of you, and like he did with Moses, he got a hold of Moses. Moses was moved and shifted over there into Egypt. He didn't know he was a baby. But when the lights turned on for his life, he said, oh, wait a minute. Oh, let me get up out of Egypt. Let me go over here. And what did God do? Turn him right back around and said, go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. So the yes of God will cause some folks to be offended at you. They'll be offended at you and not like you, and you haven't done nothing wrong but say yes to God. Some people are so incensed against you because maybe in their insecurity, oh, my God, they may be insecure because of something, you know, well, we're going to put them out there, weight gain, weight loss, weight, don't have this, don't have that. They want this, they want that. But my brother got married last month, and I'm just going to put it out there. I ain't going to put too much out there. I'm just going to make this point. But he told me he don't want nobody that don't want him. You don't want nothing. If God doesn't want for your life, you don't want it because you don't know what you're signing up for. You don't want the headache. You don't want the shenanigans. You don't want the mockery. You don't want the – because the devil will laugh at you in your face after he's pumped you and deceived you into believing a lie. So what I found out about jealousy can fool you because it can make you be mad about something that you don't even know the full details about, and then you're looking foolish because now you then got caught up into some things that you don't even – you just say, I didn't know I was signing up for that. But then there's mockery and it's shenanigans, excuse me, and it's insulting to – you say, is this insulting to my intelligence? It can be an insulting to your lack of knowledge because if you don't know – see, God has to tell us jealousy is not even worth your energy because it will provoke you to what the Bible says. Jealousy is cruel as a grave. Who wants to be caught up in the emotion of jealousy? I used to hear people, I say, Lord, ooh, they can sing. They get down. They doing them runs like it ain't no tomorrow. But the Bible tells us that gifts and callings are without repentance. You can sing the rappers down and be full of the devil himself. You can sing, you can preach and say like Paul and be just as hateful and mean and deceptive as the devil himself. And
that's right.
And God
that's right.
On my heart,
I'm glad you said that. But can I share one thing? Because when you said the word, and Pastor started the word, but I just want to interject for a second.
Okay.
The word jealousy, I think we need to change that to envy and hating and things like that, because the word of God says that we serve a jealous God.
Yes.
And I looked up the word jealous. The word jealous means intolerable of any rivalry. So it's not wrong for you to be jealous of your wife or jealous of your husband because you're intolerable of any rivalry. That's why we serve a jealous God that will not have no one before him.
Right.
But let's clarify 51-50. Let's clarify a little bit. Psychotic. Yes, I did use that phrase. 5150 is when people are envious of us because we're obedient. Mm-hmm. And I want to clarify that because there's some people out there saying that is it wrong for me to be jealous that I'm intolerable for anyone to approach my wife or my husband? Well, it can't be because we serve a jealous God who's also intolerable of mm-hmm. any rivalry. But look at the other word of envy, of hate, of wrath, and the things that are of the world. Remember, we say if you walk by the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Then the lust of the flesh are the things that we envy of other people.
Mm-hmm.
Did that help a little bit?
Well, people can be envious or jealous, like, say, as you were saying, as pertaining to a relationship-wise. Somebody might be jealous if, you know, like, say, if a person hasn't been married before and they get married, then people could be jealous because they're believing God for their spouse. But I don't mean like that. I mean, like the will of God for your life, people that don't know you, you could be in the church with somebody, with people that's been in the service with you for, like, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years. And secretively in their heart, they're jealous and they're envious.
They're envious.
Or they're comparing themselves with you to say, well, I've been saved all these years. Why aren't I where this person is? Why aren't I, you know, they say, why aren't they married or this or that?
Exactly.
But God,
exactly.
The idea is not to be jealous because, see, some people want to provoke you to be jealous to say, well, you should be jealous because I'm engaged or you should be jealous because I'm with this person. No one should be jealous of anything. No one should provoke someone to feel jealous because they're single, or someone should not be jealous because someone is engaged. Someone wants to provoke that upon someone and say, now look at me, and to make a person feel a certain way. But that's not the right spirit. The spirit is when you celebrate your sister in Christ that's ministering, or you celebrate your brother in Christ that's preaching, you're celebrating the fact that they said yes to God. Not that you're jealous because you don't have or you're not doing something that they're doing.
Exactly.
It causes God mm-hmm. to say, well, have you repented? Or what's your motive? Mm-hmm. Why do you want to preach? Mm-hmm. Why do you want to be a prophet so bad? Why do you want to have your church so bad?
Charlene, and I wasn't disputing what you were saying. I'm a total agreement to what you're saying because I've lived that. I've experienced it all the time. I was just talking about the word. A lot the word gives life or death. I just want to define the word jealousy. That jealousy is not a bad thing. Let me say that again. Jealousy is not a bad thing because jealousy means you're intolerable of any rivalry. It doesn't mean you're crazy and like someone is your boyfriend search your phone every time. That ain't jealousy. That's 5150. That's just insecurity. No, that's the lack of having stability is what I'm trying to say. That's the only thing I was trying to say. I wasn't trying to negate or anything, because what you say is on power, is on point. But I wanted to use that one word of jealousy that people don't think that's crazy.
Well, yeah, if it's suspicious and distrustful, that's that 5150. But I'm talking about the envious, the covetous, the desirous of something that someone else has versus saying, you know what, if they're insecure or they haven't said yes to God, that's not my problem. God. If they're saying yes to God, that's not I shouldn't be jealous of someone's yes to God. I should be like, well, amen to the yes to God for your life. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying, but I feel like that – it doesn't, like, if I don't know, this is an example. If I don't know how to do runs real good, you know how people like that at the baseball game and they whistle with their fingers and their teeth, you know, and they're shooting, they're whistling for their team. Like, they got to
know
it's
our fingers and our lips to profit it.
But see what I'm saying?
It's our fingers and our lips.
But you know what I'm saying? If they can whistle like that versus just a regular whistle, or they can't whistle just going out, and it's like, okay, that's kind of corny, but.
Right.
I don't have to be jealous if they whistling all around my head like they know how to do it like singing like sounding like a bird. You know what I'm saying? Like I don't have to be envious or be out of sort, or no one has to go 5150 on someone doing that, because it's like that's just a gift they got, or they can do it. Or yahoo! You know, so you're so glad for them. But
exactly,
saying,
amen, amen. Look, you own it.
It's good. Yeah, I'm just saying it before I close. I'm just saying it's funny, but I'm saying the good thing is that The wholesomeness of having the mind of Christ is that you don't have to be envious or jealous. What God is looking for all of us as his people is to tell him yes. So if anybody's got a problem with it, it's like a spirit of, like you said, envy, whatever that is. And God says unity. So unity is a present all the body of Christ has to say, you know what, like you always say, you look into your left and to your right, everybody walking with Christ. That's the focus.
I want to
say amen to the man of God that was bringing out the jealousy and this and that, because I thought about it, whether your church is big or small, if the hand of God is on your life and you're doing the will of God, and someone got a problem with that, they don't know the yes of God for their life. They should be like, well, you know what, you're pressing on. And they celebrate the God in you. They say, keep on doing the yes of God for your life. And amen. That's really what I always try to get my point out. The yes of God matters more than anybody's opinion, anybody's suggestion, anybody's, you know, misinterpretation. The yes of God is yes to God all day long.
Amen. Come on, let us all say yes to God. Come on in, Mr. Terry. Come on in and let's talk Jesus.
Amen. Yes to God.
Praise God. Good evening, my beautiful family.
Let's talk Jesus.
Yes, Pastor Luck and Pastor E, Prophetess Charlene. This is
he started it. He started it, Minister Terry.
Yes, because you know what? And as he was ministering, I was just thinking back, took me back to William Devine, remember? He said, even though you may not have, be thankful for what you got. Because
come
I said, if people, these people must have it all together to have time to be envious of somebody else.
Come on
now.
Yes.
We always say we have to be content in who we are and whose we are and where God has us. Be content, you know.
Be content.
Pastor Luckett, as you started off, we're supposed to be working together for his glory. And I heard the word song, unity. Unity, we have to bring back the small churches and the big churches. He coming back for one body.
Right.
But
that's
Pastor Luckett, you killed me. You killed me when they say I got one up on you. Oh, my God. My God, so this is something we have to be content for who we are, comfortable who we are in our relationship
with
Christ. That's all that matters. No matter, we have to put out what people say about us, what they think about us, just how God sees us. Like I heard Pastor Luckett say, he searches our hearts. I mean, you can put on the surface all you want to look, but God goes deep and he searches our hearts. He knows our inner thoughts. So that's what the Lord is looking for us to be. So I'm excited here because this is deep. Amen.
Amen. We got to go deeper.
Got to be content.
No jealousy.
Amen.
Amen. Be content.
Amen.
Amen.
Be content.
Praise God.
Amen.
Good word.
Praise
Thank
God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Prophetess Lori, come on in. Let's talk Jesus. Eric Cole, 470, last 40433. Let's talk Jesus.
Amen. God bless you. God bless everybody tonight.
Oh, you know what? I'm about to hang up the phone. Wait a minute. I know this voice from somewhere. Wait a minute. Hold on.
Who is that?
Minister Terry, grab my left arm.
Yes.
Anthony, get my right arm. Homie.
All right.
Prophet
Who
Wood.
Is
it? Glory.
God bless you. God bless you.
Can we talk Jesus?
My God.
Amen. We can talk Jesus. We can talk
Come
Jesus.
Come on in the room.
And hey, man, I'm glad to be here tonight. Yes, let's go to the closet. Amen.
Hallelujah.
This is really something that I used to deal with this when I first got saved. I was always wondering why was other folks getting blessed than other folks, than like myself. God, why do you always bless them before you bless me? What is going on with this? And I remember God saying this to me I was in my window one day, and he said, why do you want to continue to live like the Joneses? And I started to point out all of the good things the Joneses have. And he said, you know, one thing that they don't have, Dwayne, and I said, what is that, God? He said, they don't have me.
Wow.
Oh. It opened my eyes to realize that I don't have to be envious or jealous of anybody because what God
Come
got
on,
for
light.
Me, he has for me, right?
Amen.
You know,
only for
and
you.
Then and on top of this, as much as I've gone through what I've gone through, I have no reason to be jealous at nobody.
Amen.
Because
Amen.
At the end of the day, I don't know what the price that that person had paid to get to where he
come
had
on.
To get to.
That's right.
Come on,
that's
come
right.
on.
I don't know how long he stood before God or how long she stood before God to get the mantle that God has for
Jesus.
Her. See, now, if I would just get in the same frame of mindset to say, you know, if she could do it or if he could do it, then I can do it too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I have no reason to be jealous of nobody because it's out here for everybody. God has,
yeah.
has
Amen.
So much stuff for each and every one of us.
So much
and,
stuff.
And you
Lord.
Know what? One thing I found out, Pastor E, is timing.
Come on.
Is so important.
Yeah.
And this is the reason why that there's so much envy is going on because nobody has the patience to wait on God.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And there's a timing for everyone to get what everything that God has for them. There's a timing.
Mm-hmm.
God can be looking
Praise
at your
God.
Heart to see, okay, where's your heart at in this situation? God can be looking
right,
at,
right.
well, what's your motives behind if I bless
come
you?
On,
Are you going to go out here
come
and show forth like, oh, look at what God did for me? No.
Mm-hmm.
God has blessed you so much. Guess what? It's a testimony that if I tell people, look at how long I had to wait to get what God got for me. But guess what?
Mm.
I was patiently waiting.
Oh my
I
gosh.
Was thanking
yes,
him while I was waiting.
Mm.
I was believing him for
yes,
other
sir.
Folk while I was waiting. Oh, do y'all
Hallelujah.
Hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Even
yes.
though God
Jesus.
Was getting ready to bless me, I was still praying for other folk. God bless them. Lord, help them in their situation. Lord, I know you're going
right.
to do it for them. And then all of a sudden, God turned the table and said, you know what? Since you've been praying for everybody, I'm going to bless
Come
you.
On. Yes, sir.
Thank you,
Jesus.
Hey. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Amen. And so I have no reason to get jealous of anybody's what their house, their car, whatever. If they get it before me, then praise God. I'm thankful for it.
Amen.
And I think that's where the body of Christ is wrong. You know, we're just wrong. We need to be more like, man, sis, you got it. Man,
exactly.
let's celebrate her.
Come
let's
on.
Celebrate
yes, sir.
Her.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
It was a lady that used to go to so many weddings. She said, I've gone through so many weddings, and I was never able to be a bride. I said, well, did you celebrate the ones who got married?
All right, now. Mm-hmm.
When you learn to celebrate when somebody else gets something, then guess what?
Mm-hmm.
It opens up a door for you to now receive what God got for you.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Prophet, you all in my Sunday service this past time. You all up in it, because that's what I was talking about.
Amen.
That's how that word goes forward.
Yes, sir.
You know,
well, I love
you
all. Thank God. Go ahead, Pastor. I was going to say, I love y'all. I miss y'all. I can't wait to come back.
Yeah,
we
love you, Prophet Woods. Man of God.
Love you too. Love
Amen.
You too. Love you too, woman of God.
Amen.
I'm gonna go on mute. I just pulled up to my destination because this
we
job
you,
where I'm working at is where Pastor E had prayed for me to get this job. So I'm diligent
Uh-oh.
About doing my business.
Amen. Hallelujah. You want to do it?
God bless
you,
man.
Bless you,
my brother.
Bless
you.
God bless you. Blessings. Thank you, blessings.
Come on. Anybody else out there want to get in the conversation, especially that special person out there that does not know, and you hear all this excitement we have, and you be like, I don't have that? Guess what? All you got to do is dial one. I'll share with you. Pastor will share with you. All of our ministers will share with you how easy it is just to confess and watch it happen. Amen. It seems like that is it. Man of God, you have done righteous in your job, and I know I'm excited. I got notes here, and I'm about to in my evening, fresh fire, yes, in my evening and some study. And bless you, brother, man. We know God is doing great things in your ministry. We're here to support you and covenant with you. And it's awesome. So pray us out of here, man of God, or any closing remarks you have.
Amen. I just want to say on tonight, man, I hope that everybody was encouraged and blessed on tonight. Amen. And mm-hmm. just allow God to deal with you, to search your heart and to work with you. A lot was said on tonight. We were all ministered to. So take what you have, take back and reflect on it. Amen. And be in prayer and allow God to lead you and use you. And, you know, you will reap. Amen. You will reap if you faint not. Amen. Praise the Lord. So let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you on tonight. We thank you for the word, Lord. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the fellowship of the saints on tonight, Lord. There may even be someone on tonight that doesn't know you as Lord, that doesn't know your son Jesus as Lord and Savior, Heavenly Father.
Glory.
If they will confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's all what it takes, Father God. The angels of heaven will celebrate and they will be adopted into the family of God. We thank you on
Hallelujah.
Tonight, Lord, as we leap. As we leave this service, but never out of your presence, Heavenly Father, continue to stand with us and be with us, Lord. Continue to use us and strengthen us, Lord, that you may get the glory.
Yes, God.
In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Jesus name.
God bless
Amen.
You all. I love you all.
God bless
Have a great
you.
Evening on tonight.
Love you all.
Amen.
God bless.
Love you all,
Amen.
Family.
Bless you guys.
God bless you all.
the devil does.